The first Sunday of Lent, how are you all doing? Any major mess-ups yet? Oh, yeah. I call this out because Lent is not about you and I being good little Pelagians and earning our place in heaven. No, that would mean I would be advertising heresy, and that's not good. No, what Lent is about is doing our best to create space. That's what the heart of Lent is about. Creating space for the presence of God to be acknowledged by us, and that way we may enter into it. And I think it starts with this. It starts with us recalling that most of us, when we are wee little kids, we're given the greatest gift we have ever been given. The gift of baptism, the gift of a start of a new life, and by means of that new life, a new identity. Now, you've heard me preach, perhaps ad nauseum, about being a beloved son or a beloved daughter. This is where it comes from. Before baptism, and this may sound jarring, and it's meant to, before baptism, we were enemies of God. We did not have the right to be known as beloved sons or beloved daughters because we were still in injustice. At baptism, we received that beautiful title. What life is about, then, is to unpack this grace of baptism, like our opening prayer said, to understand the graces hidden within the richness of Christ. That is what Lent is about. Creating space for the gift of baptism to reach its fulfillment. To give that example, every first Sunday of Lent, we are given the story of Christ going into the desert. Part of me wishes that we entered into Matthew or Luke because we get the more fulsome expression, but Mark does just fine. Why? Because it goes into the point of him going into the desert for 40 days. For what reason? To be tempted. Because we are tempted. If he did not undergo that temptation, he could not show us the way out. He could not let us participate in his own very life as an answer to said temptations. And what were the temptations? If you remember in Matthew or in Luke, turn these stones to bread. Oh, we're up on the top of the temple. Throw yourself down. Here are all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you them. But why? Why were those temptations there? Well, if you looked at the first sentence, when you looked at the second temptation, when you looked at the third temptation, four words. If you are, seven words, excuse me. If you are the Son of God, if you are. Calling into question the very identity of Christ. Now, Satan himself did not know per se. He could make an educated guess, but he did not know per se it was Christ. So what was he doing? He was poking, he was prodding, he was investigating. But he does so by calling to doubt our own beloved identity. And here's the kicker. We fall for it. Again and again and again. If you are a good Catholic, if you are a beloved daughter, if you're a beloved son, if you're a good parishioner of Queen of Peace, you'll sign up for whatever's going on outside. No, not really. Please do volunteer. But if you are, You see, we fall for this temptation so easily because it's so near and dear to our hearts that we actually do not believe that we are good enough, that we are worthy enough. And bringing it back to the first point, we become Pelagian. We become so focused on the outward expression of the faith that we let the inward expression rot and die. Namely, we don't have faith. And we don't let that faith live by the expression of our works. So what do? We do exactly what Christ did. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that flows from the mouth of God. We need to go and do Lectio Divina. Not only read, but pray with Scripture. We need to hear his beloved voice ringing in our ears. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself from the parapet of the temple, because God has said he has sent his angels to guard you. Even here we have that he sent angels to minister to Christ. What was Christ's response? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Here are all the kingdoms of the world. I have been given authority over it all. I'll give it to you if you'll merely bow down and worship. It has been said, the Lord is our God, and him alone shall you worship. We need to go to these areas. We need to read Scripture, we need to pray, and then we need to work toward achieving his glory. The reality is, most of us, me included, use Lent as a moment to reflect and to say, where is it that I'm still hurt? But few of us actually go that second step and say, where is it that I need to obey God's will more dearly, more clearly, and more fervently? Because this will is hard. What is the will of God? The will of God is to sacrifice everything. That you and I, we're not our own. We're not in charge. We have the freedom to walk away, absolutely, but that's causing discord in the harmony that God has created. Lent is a moment for us to create the space needed and the quiet needed to find the will of God. And yes, preparation for Easter, but to find the will of God. And what is the will of God right now? Sacrifice everything in the desert. Because the desert, yes, is a place of temptation, but it's a place of encounter. Our Lord wants to find us in a way completely receptive, not distracted, not yearning for false gods, not letting our hearts run away in idolatry. By means of true and natural idolatry, where we're sacrificing to pagan idols, I gather most of you are not doing that, but the more subtle idolatry of who or what am I being more obedient to my own will, to my own understanding, to my own desire, or what the Lord has proclaimed. And this is where repentance comes. Metanoia, to think anew and to think again. I'm not calling you guys to do great acts of heroic virtue. Please, God, if you desire to do that, do it well. But I'm calling you to simply do this. What's the one thing that you refuse to let go of? Is it your family? Is it your own will? Is it your own desire? Your family has been entrusted to you. It is not your own. Your will has been made to be made a gift. Your desires are made to fall in line with the will of God. Everything is utilized by the enemy. Everything must be reclaimed. And that is the heart of baptism. The disposition to give everything away. So we go into the desert. We're only a few days into Lent. I'm not asking you for a perfect Lent. I'm asking you for a real Lent. So that way, when Easter comes, the joy of the Paschal mystery is real, enduring, abiding. And then we understand why the desert is a place of encounter. Praise be Jesus Christ.